What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today I want to share my favorite counseling verses on the role of feelings. Last week, I shared counseling verses that I use all the time when talking about anxiety, and just practically speaking, I make it sound like some of those are counseling and exclusively counseling, but I hope I made it clear in the episode that I self-counsel with Psalm 131 all the time. So if you don't have an arsenal of verses, these two episodes are intended to help you develop that arsenal of verses. So today is really about feelings, and it was really appropriate because as I was getting ready for today's episode, it's like dreary outside, cloudy. I'm waking up in the dark, and I was like, ugh, you know, what a sleepy, somewhat discouraging morning. So I'm the kind of guy that really enjoys the sunshine. I enjoy to be up doing stuff. So like colder, darker weather doesn't jive well with me. And it really does push me to that point of, all right, what's the role of my feelings here? How do I think about them? When I say an arsenal of verses, I used the illustration last week of a toolkit. You as a Christian, whether you know this or not, you actually have this toolkit, this repository of verses, like however we want to classify it. You have these verses that you go to in the times when you're struggling with a thing. So imagine the toolbox. I have a screwdriver, flathead, Phillips head. I have ratchets. I have pliers. I have the tool for the job, so to speak. And when it comes to counseling, you're going to find that you really want to have an arsenal of verses, but when it comes to your own application of the word to your life, you often find that it's really helpful to have those same tools waiting for you. So the days when you're struggling with anxiety, you really have this arsenal of verses to help you balance trusting the Lord, confronting and repenting of anxiety. But I think the same thing is true for discouragement. The days whenever I am just a little discouraged in my circumstances, whether it's family or church or masters, like I'm just kind of wrestling a little bit with, man, this stinks. That has to be met with the truth of Scripture. Like, how would the Lord want me to think about a discouraging moment? Or anger. And I would love to portray that like I was completely sanctified in anger and that my children never got to me or my wife never frustrated me or students never agitated me or encouraged me to be agitated, but that's just not the season of life that I'm at. It's not like that. So whenever I'm tempted toward the emotion of anger, I have to take God's word and apply it to my life. Even tiredness, I was thinking about this recently and like there are certain weeks where you're just dragging. It's like it's been a hustle. And you're having to rethink like, all right, is this even sustainable? Am I gonna like die if I continue at this pace? Like, what would the Lord want me to do in my tiredness? All of those, you have these verses that you're going back to. And today I wanna share my favorite verses about feelings and thinking about the role of feelings in our lives. Negative feelings are something that most of us experience. Now, inevitably, like there's this perennial chipper person listening to Transform right now. And I just want you to know that we all hate you. No, it's not like that. But most of us, it's not like that. We're just not chipper all the time in this happy-go-lucky, light mood. There are times where we feel, and I'm emphasizing feel, we feel hopeless or we feel despair. There are times when we feel rejected and unloved or uncared for or maybe we are just in a thoughtless moment by someone else. And it just really, like, that feeling hurts. When those negative emotions come, what is the role of that emotion? Like, how does that fit and comport in my overall sanctification in Christian life? Does that negative emotion rule me? And if it does, it's really the downward spiral of being an emotions-led and feelings-led person. So are they the authority, or how much weight do I give to them? Do I ignore them? We could all be the proverbial drill sergeant for Jesus. And that is the type that it's just like your emotions don't matter. Drive on. I must break you. Do you guys remember the Rocky movie? I must break you. Yeah, some of us feel that way, like we are the robot for Jesus and we conceal, don't feel every emotion. So this is just one of many emotions that we try not to acknowledge. Biblically, I have some favorite verses that help me think about my own feelings, the feelings of discouragement or frustration, rejection, disrespect. Excuse me. When I look at those, I see that ultimately the Bible is the authority and I'm not called to walk by my feelings, but to walk by my faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this comes from verse 6. It says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." That's the favorite all-time classic verse. Your Christian walk is described as being a run and a race. And this walk of your Christian faith is you pursuing Christ. And Hebrews 12:2 is you're looking to the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus. So multiple times running is used, or an athletic analogy is used of your Christian walk. Even the term Christian walk, it's sometimes like a Christianism that we say so much that it feels normal to us. But when you think of that and you're not a believer, you're not from a Christian background, what do we mean by Christian walk? Like your pursuit of Christ, your path, your lifestyle. That's what we mean by your Christian walk. You are to be a person who walks by faith. That's the real hallmark of your faith, is that you walk by faith, not by sight. In fact, the end of chapter 4 was about looking to the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporal. That's chapter 4, verse 18. This reality is that if you are a person who walks by sight, then you're walking by what you immediately see, immediately experience, immediately feel. And there is an innate danger in walking by how you feel. Your job as a Christian isn't to suppress all emotion and reject it altogether. That's not your job. God has created you as an emotional being, and you have feelings and you have affections. And those things, as you grow in sanctification, those things should match the way the Lord feels and the Lord's affections. And your heart is transformed more and more and more. So your feelings are transformed more and more and more. But the answer is not to conceal, don't feel, and get rid of all emotion. That's not the call. The call is that you know that your emotions are not the authority. You know your emotions are not the boss. You don't walk by your emotions, and you're not an emotions-led person. So what are you led by? Your faith. Your faith is what is guiding you. Your faith, looking to the unseen by faith, believing the word of God by faith, is what the hallmark of the Christian life looks like. So on the days when your emotions don't match God's word, what do? Practically, you trust God's word, and by faith, you pursue it. The verse, two verses later from verse 7 says that we make it our aim, or we make it our ambition to be pleasing to the Lord, that you would, by faith, please the Lord when you don't feel like it. Ooh, that's tricky, isn't it? You would, by faith, please the Lord when you don't feel like it. That's 2 Corinthians 5. So if you're wrestling with this sense of being disingenuous or phony, you got to anchor yourself in the truth of Scripture. I, at times, have to obey against my feelings. An easy example of that does come from Genesis chapter 4. In biblical counseling, we'll use this all the time. This goes back even to Jay Adams as an example of what it means to walk by faith versus feelings. Think of God's confrontation of Cain. I've shared this verse on prior transformed episodes. The emphasis that I want to draw out here, though, is on obedience. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2, And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell, his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." Think of the emphasis on doing here. You are angry and you're at a crossroads. What is the next step? Don't let your anger be the authority in your life. Sin is waiting at the door based off of your response to the Lord, rejecting your subpar offering. Sin is waiting at the door, and what will make the difference? Not how you feel, not letting your feelings guide you. That's not it. What will make the difference? Are you going to obey and do what is right, even though you don't feel that way? This verse reminds me over and over and over that our feelings are not the authority. So we got to do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with Philippians chapter 2 as a reminder of how God changes our feelings. We'll be right back.
Okay, all right. We'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. Now, if you're listening and you've been thinking, well, Greg just kind of read my journal. He just kind of read my mind and he did it out loud and on the radio. You're probably not alone. This whole section on being tired and discouraged and irritated by something or somebody else, yeah, that's something I think we're all resonating with right about now. And here's where it gets really convicting. Feelings are not the enemy. They're also not the boss. You know, we live in a world that has elevated emotions to the level of like biblical authority. And I think we've all felt it. But look, scripture tells us to walk by faith, not by sight or feeling. That's where biblical counseling shines. It's not about pretending that you're not upset. It's not about some kind of spiritualized fake it till you make it thing. It's about learning how to steward your feelings through the lens of truth. God's word is an anchor, not a mood. And that's why I want to encourage you to pre-order Dr. Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You really should. Whether you're a counselor or a counselee or just someone trying to make sense of your own struggles, this book will help you. You can pre-order it right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Oh, and also let me say, if you want content, daily content that will help you keep your thinking sharp and your heart grounded, then get the Fortis Plus app. What are you waiting on? It's free, completely free. We're never going to ask you for any money for Fortis Plus. There's already hundreds of hours of audio and video content available, and we add 7 more pieces of content every day. And all of it always centered on Christ. It's available right now at fortisplus.org or wherever you download your apps. Again, it's free. Now, can I give you one more reason to consider linking arms with us and joining us? Fortis Institute, we're celebrating 25 years of ministry. Started as Wretched Radio, then became Gospel Partners Media, and now Fortis Institute, where we're loaded with some of the most theological voices in the entire world. A quarter century of equipping believers is what we've been doing, and we want to equip believers for a quarter century more. And here's the cool part when you join us. 83% of every dollar that you give goes straight into the work of ministry and creating resources. But remember, I tell you this all the time. Make sure that you're giving to your local church first. Make sure you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt. If those areas of your life are looking good, then pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You've got questions. We've got some answers. Hopefully, we've got the answers to the questions that you have. If we don't, you can always reach out to us. But start at fortisinstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Jimmy, thank you, sir, for the resources that you've provided for us. You guys have to download Fortis Plus. Just throw it on your phone, and when you have a second, jump in and start watching the resources. It's really incredible what Todd and Fortis have done. there is so much content that even as a fellow, I feel overwhelmed. Like I can't keep up with all of the podcasts and the hot takes and the seasons of this and seasons of that. Like it's quite remarkable what Fortis is doing at this point. Also, I want you to go to fortis.org/lies and check out my forthcoming book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. Remember, it's coming out in May. I just filmed the audiobook, so there will be an audiobook to accompany it. That does mean that I am the one to have read 17 hours. I don't think that's going to be how long the final product is. But guys, that was a brutal. I thought I was in jail for a second, you know, like the audio booth for 8 hours a day. It feels a lot like a prison cell, solitary confinement. So if you're a listener, then pre-order the audiobook. If you're a reader, then pre-order the hard copy book. Again, you can find that wherever books are sold, but go to fortisinstitute.org/lies. All right, now speaking of liars, let's talk about our feelings. Our feelings are liars. They don't always tell us the truth. We have negative emotions. We have self-doubt and rejection. We have all of this like negative discouragement. What do we do with our emotions? That's what I've been speaking to today. And in 2 Corinthians 5, I said, we don't walk by them. We're not led by them. We're not controlled by them. Our faith is what guides us. So we don't look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. I finished by saying, look at God's confrontation of Cain, Genesis 4. God actually takes Cain and says, Cain, if you do well, then you will be able to successfully resist this sinful desire. But if you don't do well, sin's crouching at the door. Now, I want you to think, how does the Lord change my emotions? Philippians chapter 2. I was sharing this passage with some guys up at Canyon Hills Church in Seattle. If you're looking for a rock solid church up in the Seattle area, you got to check out Canyon Hills. They do a great job with biblical counseling. It was great to meet the men's ministry. So just an overall awesome experience. I was sharing from Philippians 2, and we were talking about spiritual disciplines and how that actually brings about change. In Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The way that Paul calls the Philippians to respond to the humility of Christ is Christ obeys to the point of death, and you guys need to obey as well. Obedience isn't this dark word. It's not a negative word. It's a response to Christ in love. Remember, you obey out of a transformed heart. You don't obey to have a transformed heart. And that balances. Often it feels like a razor's edge because my response to the Lord is one of love and desiring to abide in his love, John 15. So I keep his commandments. Your obedience in Philippians 2:12 is what God uses to bring about transformation of your feelings, of your desires. Verse 13, it says something that's really important to note. And this was the basic thesis of my book, Heart and Habits. That as you obey and work out your salvation with this holy reverence, the fear and trembling, as you obey, what happens is God works in you to give you the ability to obey, yes, but also to want to obey, the desire to obey, to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's one thing to obey the Lord. It's another thing to desire to obey the Lord. But the reality is, how are those desires transformed? How are your feelings transformed? How are your affections transformed? They are not magically transformed. I don't want you to think that you need to pray for deliverance of a bad feeling. I don't want you to think that way. I don't want you to think I need a healing service of negative emotions. Lord, I am discouraged and disappointed. I need someone to pray healing over me. Don't think that. I want you to think I need to persevere in being obedient no matter how I feel. I need, by God's grace, to persevere with the ability that he provides, that's verse 13, to work for his good pleasure. I need to use the grace God has given me to obey, and God will actually transform my feelings. Practically speaking, as you're listening to this, this is like a linchpin of faithfulness. If you can grasp this idea that I don't feel like loving my enemy, but I'm called to do that. There are days when I don't feel like being faithful at work. I want to go home. I feel disrespected. And yet I'm called to obey the Lord no matter how I feel, to work hard, Colossians 3:23, no matter how I feel. There are days I don't want to be a godly parent. I just want to be left alone. And no matter how I feel, I am called to obey the word of God, even if my feelings don't match. And how does God change my feelings? By spirit-filled obedience. That's it. Not by Greg-filled or add your name to that, not by you doing the work yourself, but by you trusting the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to do this. Please change my heart. Please change my feelings in this moment. And I know that you do that as I seek you in faith. So I'm doing that now, Lord. Guys, gals, countrymen, we cannot walk by our feelings. Your feelings will mislead you. And the way for them to change is Philippians 2, 12 and 13, that you're going to obey the Lord, do what he's calling you to do, even if you don't feel that way. Okay, let me share another favorite with you. So far I've said 2 Corinthians 5, 7. That's an awesome verse. I use that, and I would rank it in that order. That's the first one. I walk by faith, not by feelings. Genesis 4, if you do well, this emphasis on obedience to the Lord, no matter how you feel. Philippians 2, transformation comes as I am seeking to honor the Lord by obeying him. That's Philippians 2. The last one that I'll share with you is Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. These are psalms that come from the sons of Korah. I can feel the weight of these at times, especially in the heavier seasons of my life. My tears have been my food day and night. Psalm 42, verse 3. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Verse 5, this is the emphasis I want to make. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. You have that day where you're just downcast. Why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you struggling to be hopeful? The sons of Korah are going to say that in verse 11. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. And then again in chapter 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. When it comes to your emotions, you talk to yourself, Wayne Mack would say. Talk to yourself. Oh, today's hard. Today stinks. I'm worthless. I'm not appreciated. You talk to yourself, and your feelings are often following what you're thinking about and that truth you're telling yourself. On the day when you're wrestling with wayward feelings, you need to counsel yourself. You need to talk to yourself. You need to respond to those thoughts and say, hope in God, for I shall again praise him. God is my focus on the days when I am not there. I'm not all in, like I don't feel it. I'm struggling today. I'm honestly struggling. Tell yourself to not listen to your feelings, but to place your hope in the Lord. Seriously, we could all rehearse times when we go back to the good old days, or we could all rehearse times when we think through how we've been mistreated. The sons of Korah talk about that in chapter 42. And yet, what do you do with those wayward times where you just feel downcast? What do? You have to tell yourself, Greg, stop. Hope in the Lord today. Let him be your focus. Hope and trust are often used as synonyms, two sides of the same coin in the Old Testament. Trust in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Let him be your focus today. Do not focus on your circumstances. Don't focus on what people are saying to you. Don't focus on your feelings. Focus on the Lord. Make him your hope and watch your feelings transform. I have to tell myself that quite regularly. I don't know the way you guys perceive me. There are a lot of transformed listeners, and I think some of you perceive me as being like this bulwark of consistent and steady emotions. It ain't like that. I have to tell myself the truth of Scripture and remind myself to hope in God. And in the days of discouragement, I think you need to arm yourself with that way of thinking as well, that Lord, I'm discouraged today. I'm frustrated. I'm hopeless. I'm hustling and I'm grinding, and it just feels like everything in the world is stacked against me. Help me to hope in you. That is the call that we have, hope in the Lord. So how do I end that? I end that by saying, I got to talk to myself and I got to tell myself that those emotions are not correct and I need to trust in the Lord. Whatever you do, arm yourself with verses to address the times where you are wrestling with your feelings. You got to find your own way of addressing those wayward emotions. How do you do that? With the authority of God's word. Remember, your feelings are not the authority, but God's word is the authority. So we are going to walk by our faith, not our feelings. Walk by your faith, not by your feelings. Let me pray for you today that that would be true of you. Lord, there are many listeners from all over the world that are struggling with emotions. some rightfully so. If any of us were in their circumstances, it would be hard and discouraging and frustrating. Lord, I pray that those particular listeners would be strengthened by your word, that they would seriously counsel themselves to look to you, tell themselves to look to you, to find their hope in you. Lord, help us not to be a people that give too much weight to our feelings. We are appreciative of them. We're thankful you gave them to us, Lord, but may we walk by our faith, and may that really bring about joy and the transformation of wayward feelings. Lord, give us grace for this task, we pray. We know it's gargantuan, and we also know that it's life transforming. So give us grace for this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.